the kill, and Warner wins the set. Fade away by Moores.
In Play with Craig Maddock, made possible by Horton in Britain, a worldwide supplier of engine cooling systems and proud member of the community for more than four decades. HortonWW.com. Welcome to another edition of In Play. I'm Craig Maddock. Today's guest is a state wrestling champion. He wrestled at SDSU and then became a professional MMA fighter. And after some 10 years in MMA, coaching in his blood, just like his dad. It's great having him home in South Dakota. He's the boys' wrestling coach at Lakota Tech. He's David Bulldog Michaud. Hey, David, welcome to In Play.
Hey, Craig, nice to be here.
Hey, all right, who gave you the Bulldog nickname?
My dad. You know, he said that I just was a little chunky guy, had some big old head, big old cheeks, looked like a little bulldog crawling around.
Oh, well, your dad, Dave, of course, he's coached wrestling for over 35 years at Pine Ridge, and you were at Pine Ridge, and now Dave is the girls' wrestling coach at Lakota Tech. How cool is that, David, having you both at Lakota Tech?
Yeah, it's nice. I mean, it's nice for me having someone who, you know, he knows all the ins and outs of kind of dealing with the administration and getting everything set up, and he's really good with the kids. He's a great recruiter for sure. And obviously, you know, he's been wrestling for a long time, but
yeah.
He recruits every kid that comes through the lunch line. He says he likes to work lunch, and any kid that's coming through the lunch line, he's like, what are you doing this winter? You playing basketball? No, might as well come try wrestling. So it really boosts our numbers up. You know, we get a lot of new kids every year. We starting with 60 or so kids, and
nice.
It's enjoyable.
By the way, Lakota Tech High School is only about 7 miles from Pine Ridge High School. What are your earliest memories of wrestling in the Michaud house?
Oh, geez. In the house? I don't know. I mean, we were always wrestling, you know, uh-huh. always grabbing my dad, getting beat up, trying to rough him. It wasn't happening for quite a while, though.
Did you spend a lot of time in the wrestling room when your dad was the coach at Pine Ridge?
Yeah, you know, I was always in there either wrestling with the guys or, you know, just watching. I was at all the tournaments and stuff, so definitely was around it my whole life.
So for you as a kid, what was it like growing up in Pine Ridge?
I enjoyed it. You know, we lived a little bit out of town. My grandpa owned some land, and so he was on a ranch out there, and I mean, always working, riding four-wheeler, riding horse, riding motorcycle, fixing fence, doing stuff.
That's awesome. That's awesome. You're doing a lot of skill sets out on the ranch.
Yeah.
But you're still involved with wrestling, and it's 2003. State wrestling tournament is in Sioux Falls. You're an eighth grader. Did you qualify for the tournament that year?
No, I didn't qualify as an eighth grader. I qualified freshman, sophomore, junior, senior. But not as an eighth grader.
2004, you did. You qualified for state. It was in Aberdeen. You're wrestling 145. You placed eighth that year. What do you remember about that tournament in Aberdeen?
I remember my second match in the tournament. I got tech fall. The guy was returning runner-up, and he abused me. Other than that, oh, no, I also feel like I got bit.
What?
Hey, in the match to get to placing, I headlocked the guy, and then he bit me in the chest. And I remember looking at the ref, and I'm like, he bit me. And then the ref calls the pin, and I get up, and I show him, like, some teeth marks. I'm like, he bit me. And the ref just goes, well, he's out now. So I'm like, man, shouldn't he take a team point or something? I don't know. That seems bad. But, yeah, I got bit, got abused. The guy ran me off the mat a couple times. But, you know, made it onto the podium as a freshman, so that was pretty good.
You had, Ryan Orrell of Winter and James Lemke of West Central. Those were the top
Lemke,
two
he
guys.
Was the one, he was the one who worked me. I think I lost to Orrell in regionals. And, yeah, and then I wrestled Lemke at state, and he put it to me.
Yeah, and Lemke went on to win at 145. In 2005, you qualify again for state. It's in Rapid City, and you're up to 160. Was that a big change for you, wrestling at 160 when the year before you were at 145?
Well, not really, because I was always a heavier guy, like up until my seventh grade year, you know. In sixth grade, I was wrestling at 160 in the whatever 13-14 division. I was a hefty, as my grandma would say, as a husky boy. So, you know, up until then, I was normally up close to the heavyweight divisions. And then going into seventh grade, I just kind of started growing up and lost the baby fat. So it was funny, you know, I went sixth grade, 160, then I got smaller. And then by sophomore year, you know, kind of bulked back up.
You had a great year. I mean, you went, what, 35-5 that year? You're in the championship match. You're up against Shane Bennett of Belle Fouche. What happened in that match?
Again, got worked, got abused. I remember I almost got tech-walled. Like, so I had wrestled Bennett earlier in the year. And then the way that the brackets were, that they used to be, they didn't used to be seeded. Because there was another guy who had beat me a bunch. He beat me like three times throughout the year. Curtis from Winter. And he beat me at regionals, you know, beat me up pretty good. Like, we never really had close matches. And they ended up on the same side, and I ended up on the other side with two other region champs. And I was like, well, works out for me. Yeah, got into the finals, and God, he just kept double-legging me.
So did you change the way you wrestled a little bit after that championship as you, you know, would prepare for, you know, your junior and senior year?
No, I wouldn't say that. I mean, Bennett was just an animal. You know, he went and he got either third, fourth, or fifth at senior nationals after that tournament. So, you know, he was really one of the better guys in the country. And I just knew I just had to get better everywhere. Obviously, had to get better at sprawling to stop those shots. But again, you know, like I said, he was one of the best guys in the country. So it's not like I was out there getting worked by some random scrub.
Well, it's a big move. Your junior year, you go up to 189. You know, you move up a few more weight classes. And you, the state wrestling tournament is in Watertown. You finished sixth. That was a tough weight division. Certainly, you got Asip of Watertown, Wallen of Roosevelt. Those were the top two guys that year.
Yeah, you know, and Asop's the one who I ended up losing to. I was trying to get down to 171. I didn't have many matches that year. I had chipped a bone in my neck, and I wasn't really able to wrestle too much. Wasn't thinking that I was going to wrestle at regions, and then neck kind of started feeling all right. It was still hard to move my head around, but going into regions, I was like, hey, let's do it. Let's try it out. So, you know, wrestled at regions, was still hurting, and then said, well, let's see what I can do at state. Got through a few matches at state and then had to, you know, ended up injury defaulting out.
You know, it is about this time that you're starting to get involved, I think, with mixed martial arts. Was this about your junior year you were thinking about it? You were doing some amateur fighting, I think.
So I didn't have anything really like licensed or anything. Well, South Dakota didn't have the South Dakota Boxing Commission like they do now, which licenses it. So there used to be fights at the Sturgis Rally. And I think the summer between my freshman and sophomore year was the first time I went up there and had a fight. So I think I was 15 and I went up and, you know, there was a guy, well, it was at the bar. It was at the Knuckle Saloon. They called it the Busted Knuckle.
Uh-huh.
And
yeah,
obviously I'm too young to get in the bar. So my dad had to sign off for me and they let me get in there and, you know, beat up some. I think they said he was 23 or 24. I beat him up pretty good. After the fight, all the drunk guys in the bar, they crumble up money and throw money in if they liked your fight. I made like $70. I thought I was balling. I was like, dang, I'm the richest kid in the world, you know. Just beat up some guy, got $70 for it. So that was my first official fight. And then as it got a little bit older, like you're saying, probably between my sophomore junior year, I think that they had, it was called Ring Wars. and it used to be pretty big out here, West River. And I start fighting with them, and that was more of the, a little more, I guess that would be a little more official, while still, like I was saying, not licensed. So,
and that was okay with Dad at the time. Official. Dad was okay with it.
Oh, he was all over it. Yeah. I didn't tell my mom what I was going to do. And then she found out after my aunt went and watched, she wasn't too happy, but I had a good time. I was like, dude, I didn't even get hit. Like I hit him once. I took him down. I choked him out, beat him up.
Well, your senior year at Pine Ridge, you know, prior to your senior year, you were getting in, you know, pretty close to 40 matches a year, but you only got 20 matches in your senior year. Was your neck still bothering you?
I had separated my shoulder my senior year, and, you know, in matches it would kind of pop out. So I took a lot of time off again, and again, like, you know, you're saying I got 20 matches, and seven of those were just between regions and state. So for the whole season, I only, before then, you know, I didn't wrestle up to regions. I probably wrestled, I think the last match I wrestled, I think, was probably at the winter tournament, which is kind of mid-January. And my shoulder just really was bugging me. I couldn't practice. Mostly all I was doing for practice was just kind of getting some cardio in. Again, one of those things where, like, going into regions, I didn't know that I was going to wrestle. Start feeling okay. It was still bad. I got a shoulder brace and, like, well, we'll test it out. I even remember, you know, my cardio was really bad because I hadn't wrestled. And, like, I was like, man, if I don't get going into region and my shoulder was still bad, I was like, dude, if I don't get these pins quick, like, I might just have to sit it out, call it or something. But ended up going through regions pretty easy. Had a couple tough guys, a couple guys that placed. And then going into state, it was the same thing. It's like, man, I just don't know how much I can really do. Like, if someone gets me down and throws me in a chicken wing, this thing might just pop straight out too. Mm. And it actually did pop out in one of the matches.
Oh.
I never got surgery on it or nothing. It bugs me even still. It hasn't happened in a while, but I've had times where I'll just tight waist someone and it'll pop out. But I don't know. It's probably so messed up now that it's just so loose. Like, I can just kind of get it back in on my own pretty easy. I've even had it happen in fights where I was fighting, I felt it pop out, and I can kind of get it back set before, you know, anything really happens too much.
Well, you were 189 again your senior year, and boy, that was a really good crop of wrestlers at that weight that year. You had Josh Lind of Yankton, Asip of Watertown again, and of course Devin Clark from Sioux Falls Lincoln, and of course you. You know, the quarterfinal and the semifinal matches your senior year, what were those matches like for you? You said you wanted to get those over with quick.
God, I can't even really say. I don't know. I feel like I got a pin in the quarters, and I don't think I got a pin in the semis. I feel like I got a lead, and it just seemed like the guy wasn't really trying to win. So I just kind of sat on the lead, like, feel like I got the first couple takedowns and he was just kind of hanging out on bottom. I was like, man, well, I guess I'll just hang out too if you're not trying to get out or anything.
Sure. But you make it to the championship match, and there's Devin Clark of Lincoln. He's only lost one match all year, and how ironic, you two guys both eventually make it into mixed martial arts, professional fighters. What was key for you in that match, in the win against Devin Clark?
Staying solid, trying to keep a solid base. Knew he was an explosive guy. I'd watched his semis match a little bit. I think that I wrestled first and then watched him with Asoff. And Asoff had beat him earlier in the year. That was his only loss. And, you know, he's just pretty, like I said, pretty explosive guy. Couldn't let him get underneath me, start getting on my legs and start running through me. I always felt like I was a pretty strong guy, upper body. Guys didn't want to tie up too much. So just had to, you know, keep my base and try not to gas out. I knew that he was going to have cardio on me. You know, he had a lot of matches throughout the year. He didn't seem like he was getting tired in his matches. And, I mean, really, when you look at it, like, as far as, you know, college wrestling goes, Asoff wrestled at SDSU for a little bit. I was at SDSU. That's two D1 guys. Devin Clark, he was a junior college national champion. He could have went D1, but he ended up not continuing after that. So it's like, man, like that's a pretty good little roster of college wrestling for South Dakota right there.
And you win the championship. And, of course, your dad, Dave, is your coach. What was that experience like, having your dad right there winning a state championship?
It was nice. I mean, I don't know. Honestly, like, to me, it was almost like, I don't want to say I expected it, but, you know, I was always a pretty confident guy. I knew it was going to happen. Well, at the same time, it's like, man, you know, if it don't. I don't put too much pressure on myself. Like, we're just out here, and I try not to put too much pressure on the kids, you know? Like, hey, guys, this is a small part of life. It's important. We want to do well. We want to put a lot into it, and we try to do our best. And losing sucks. Losing sucks more in wrestling than in any other high school sport, for sure. Losing in an individual sport, you can't look over at someone and be like, well, I did good. This guy kind of lost it for us, you know? So losing in wrestling, when you're out there head-to-head, some guy, same size as you, doing the same thing, and then they whoop you. There's nothing like losing there. So even more than winning, like, I hate losing. It's just looking over at someone, seeing them happy that they was able to beat you up. And again, there's no excuses. This guy, same size as you, you can't say he was bigger than me. You can't say he was older than me. Like, you're in high school, you're all in the same division. So yeah, it was nice. I liked it, obviously.
Was it harder for your dad to be your coach, or was it harder on you having your dad as the coach?
I'd say it was harder on me. You know, he expected a lot out of me, so there was a lot of expectations there, and I just tried not to let that get to me, let that affect me, and just go out and just have fun. Just beat up on people.
David, you finished your high school career in 91 and 19. And of course, after graduating from Pine Ridge, oh, by the way, congrats as a valedictorian of your class.
Thank you. Oh, so for that record, I don't know that that's exactly 100% true. I remember, like, they asked me what the record was in college, and I just kind of threw anything out there because I didn't know. We didn't have. So, okay. Yeah. You know, like you said, I think sophomore year I was like 35 and 15. I think freshman year I had like close to 30 wins. So I probably had more than the 90. If you're saying I had 20 my senior year, because I don't know anything about my seventh and eighth grade year, you know. But
sure.
Again, I just kind of threw out any old thing whenever they asked me, because I was like, dude, I don't know. We didn't really keep the stat book.
Got a championship, though. Yeah. That's always big. Yeah, you know, Jason Lyles was the wrestling coach there, but didn't you go to SDSU to go play football first, or was this a combo for wrestling and football?
I was on the football team, yeah, 1 year, and then it was like, well, you know, I'm never gonna be in the NFL. I don't have the size needed for my speed, or I don't have the speed needed for my size. So I was thinking, like, well, I still wanted to fight. Stig didn't really want me to fight. He wasn't too up on that. And then I talked to Lyles and said, hey, you know, I'd like to come wrestle if you guys are good with me still fighting. And I mean, honestly, they were kind of in a bind. They were low on numbers going through the transition. They didn't have guys at either of the weights that I was trying to get to, 84 or 74. So he said, yep, let's go. We'll get you in here. And the room was small. We didn't have a bunch of guys. Had a good 97 in Sorensen, and then had two other guys from South Dakota that were good, Pickerel and Walraven. And, you know, I had known Walraven a little bit going in, so he was one of my good, better friends in college. And, yeah, like I said, he kind of almost needed me, you know, so he had to let me fight and keep going.
You got hurt your junior year, I believe. What was that in Brookings?
Had compartment syndrome. So I don't know if you ever heard what that is. Normally it's track people get it from running, from their foot landing hard. I had never heard of it, but you can get acute from getting hit. So I was doing a trip on a guy. I had an underhook going a trip, and his knee hit right behind my shin, almost behind the shin in front of the calf on the inside. And it just started hurting. My legs swole up. Finished out practice. I'm like talking to the trainer. I'm like, man, I don't know. Like, it's hurting. And my leg was all purple. And luckily that day, the doctor was already in. We had a doctor come into the, athletic room once a week, I think, at SDSU at that time. And the doctor was in, so he checks me out. He's like, dude, all right, man, you have to stay off this leg. You have compartment syndrome, and none of us had ever heard of it. So you have compartment syndrome, and what that is, like, the blood vessels in your leg start to swell, and if they get too big, you need to get your leg drained. And it's two big scars on either side of your leg. If you don't get it drained, the blood vessels swell so much that the nerves in your foot die. And again, this was all, like, I had never heard this, you know. The Lyles, you know, coaching since the, I don't know, the 20s or something. since the 80s for sure. Uh-huh. And he had said he had never heard of it. None of the other wrestlers heard of it. So they throw me in the ice bath. And it's funny because there was two track girls in there. And they're like, oh, what do you got going on? I said, well, they said my leg's got compartment syndrome. And then one of them goes, oh, my God, I had that. She pulls up her leg. Huge scars from almost the knee all the way down to the ankle. Said, yeah, I have that. They had to drain my leg because my blood vessels were too swollen. Mm. They said if they didn't, my foot would have basically died, I guess, the nerves in my foot. So I ended up having that all the way up until, you know, like a little bit after our conference. So I couldn't wrestle in conference that year.
Is it about that time, though, that you thought, you know, maybe once you get healthy, maybe you want to get more into MMA than maybe your final year of wrestling at SDSU?
Well, I had that one season left. I had told Lyles that I wasn't going to come back. You know, I still had one semester left at SDSU, too. But, you know, I told Lyles that I wasn't going to come back and wrestle. And he's like, man, we can. You just take one class second semester. You'll need to take a full credit course first semester, which I already needed to. Like, you just take one credit second semester and just wrestle. But I didn't love wrestling like that, you know. So I wasn't trying to go to school just to wrestle. I was trying to use wrestling to get a little bit better at wrestling for, you know, a future fighting career.
Sure.
Like, I had been fighting for a long time. So we had talked a little bit, and they had talked about, for a little bit, it seemed like they were going to let me come in and practice with the team. Then, I don't know, then that didn't end up happening, but, you know, it is what it is. So I was just fighting then, and yeah, once I finished out that semester, I went down and I tried out for the Ultimate Fighter.
That's right. This is 2012.
Yeah, and then the next season ended up not being my weight class, but then the season after that was my weight class where I ended up getting on the show.
Yeah, 2012, that popular TV show, Ultimate Fighter, you did audition for it. You got on the show. Before I talk to you about that, though, you know, what was exciting to you about MMA?
Again, like I was saying with wrestling, you know, it's one-on-one. You're fighting some other dude the same size as you. There's no excuses. But I don't know, right from the very first fight I had, I mean, I just loved it. I just loved beating the crap out of someone, honestly. I mean, nothing makes you feel more like a man. And again, whenever you lose, nothing hurts more than looking across being like, dude, that guy just whooped me.
Your first professional bout, April of 2009, and it's in Brookings. And you're going up against Curtis Johnson. How nervous were you for that bout?
A little nervous. I never really got nervous, you know. I don't know why. I never, like, people would ask me about nerves, but I never really was someone to get nervous. I always just got excited. It's like, to me, it was like, I finally get to go out there. I'm not sparring one of my friends that I'm trying not to hurt, that's trying not to hurt me. You know, it's like the live bullets are going to be flying out here. Things are really going to be happening. And that just drove me. I loved it. I mean, I even remember one time one of my buddies that I was coaching down in Phoenix asked, like, how nervous I got. I was like, dude, I love it. I don't get nervous at all. I just, as soon as we're going out there, like, I want him to close that cage door and I want it to start. So, yeah, I never, even early on in my career, I never really got nervous. I guess one thing, the guy came out in gi karate pants. So I was like, ooh, man,
what?
This guy might be throwing some kicks.
What?
But then I hit him a few. He threw a low kick, and I caught it, and I took him down and ended up beating him up.
You would win your first 7 bouts over 4.5 years. You know, what was life going on? What was going on during those, you know, 4 years of getting those 7 bouts in as an MMA fighter?
Well, I had a knee surgery in there. I tore my ACL, MCL, and meniscus before I went on the Ultimate Fighter. I was wrestling with, it was a wrestling practice for Legends of Gold. Where was it? It wasn't in Beersford. They were traveling. And so some of the SDSU guys were there coaching. So I asked if I could come and wrestle because I was still training for the Ultimate Fighter. And I ended up tearing my knee just a couple weeks before that. So I ended up having to get surgery, and then, you know, that put me out for a while. So that was kind of that long break there early in my career. But I was working, so I graduated with a journalism degree from SDSU. So I was working for some weekly newspapers here, West River, some native newspapers, or some newspapers on the res. And, you know, I'd be over here in Pine Ridge training as much as I could. Didn't have any like kickboxing or jujitsu training, but we'd get boxing, and some of my buddies were pretty good boxers. I'd box with them, get some wrestling in, and then just work as much as I could doing the journalism and other things, whatever odd jobs I could find, make some money. Then I'd be able to go to Sioux Falls for a few weeks and train there for a fight and get a fight, make a little bit of money that way. But you're not making too much money, especially early on in MMA.
Well, you made it onto the Ultimate Fighter TV show. It's 2012. You auditioned for it. You got on. What was that experience like overall?
It was weird. So, like, you go down there, and then they put you in a hotel room, and then they say, okay, don't leave the room. Like, oh, that's weird. So you're stuck in the room for 3 days, and you're trying to work out just in the hotel room for most of it. They let you get 1 hour in the gym. So you're trying to get your weight down while not being able to leave the hotel. That was tough. You know, they kind of, it's a reality show. They want to put you in like some weird situation, some weird spots. And then they take you to the weigh-ins. You weigh in the day before, then you got to fight the next day. The guy that I was supposed to fight, so we had faced off before the weigh-ins, then that guy ended up not making weight. So I had someone else come out instead, who was actually a much better fighter, unfortunately for me.
Talk about Eddie Ellis?
Yeah.
Eddie Ellis.
You know, he'd been a veteran. Most of the guys on there were, you know, I think I was 3-0 or 4-0. Most of the guys on there had less than 5 fights. They kind of try to get the younger guys on there. And, yeah, you know, went into the fight, had a torn ACL. But I was still in good shape because I tore it pretty recently before the fight. Just wore a knee sleeve over it. And it really, honestly, didn't bother me that much. Like, it hurt when it happened and I couldn't train for a few days. But in the fight, I definitely wouldn't say that it had a ton of effect on me. I did have to change my stance. I normally was a southpaw. And so I switched my stance. I didn't want my torn knee to be in front and start getting kicked. But other than that, you know, went out there. But he just, I mean, it was good. He first round was close. The second round, I felt like I was kind of gassing him, start working him, had him on the ground, beating him up a little. And, you know, he just had a little better jiu-jitsu down there, was able to slip an elbow and lock up a choke.
Who was your coach during this time? I mean, you had the wrestling skills, maybe not the kickboxing or the boxing skills. Who was coaching you to try to become a better person?
I'd like to think that my boxing was pretty good. I had some decent boxing coaches back home here in South Dakota. But I was training at Next Edge with Bruce Hoyer. You know, he's still there, and he's got a really good girl right now who's fighting for him, who's like, honestly, should have been in the UFC by now, Cheyenne. And, you know, I think he's the best jiu-jitsu coach in South Dakota. You know, I put him right up on the par of my jiu-jitsu coach in Phoenix, John Crouch, and he's a great MMA coach too.
Your first professional bout in MMA here in Sioux Falls, April of 2016. It was RFA 37. You won by submission, by the way. It was the guillotine choke. What was it like being in front of that big crowd in Sioux Falls?
It was nice. Definitely, people loved it. You know, Devin Clark fought on that show, too, and I think that's when he ended up getting signed by the UFC. yeah, it was fun. Like, it was great. I really loved it. It was a good time. People loved it. I fought some big, muscly guy from North Dakota, I think Chris Hugh, and I was able to get out there, kind of put it on him. Well, it's funny because everyone's always like, oh, you can wrestle, you can take him down. I'm like, yeah, I mean, I guess. You know, I get out there and I start putting hands on people and then they start shooting. So I'm like, I don't know. Wrestling's tiring, you know? Wrestling makes you tired. If I'm punching people and just kind of moving around them, I don't get nearly as tired. And it's more fun. And for the most part, the fans like it. So I always enjoyed punching people. So... Yeah. All the wrestling fans would be like, oh, you should wrestle more. And I'm like, God, but, you know, if I knock someone out, like, oh, man, it feels nice. It feels good. It looks cool, too.
During this whole time, there's UFC, there's Bellator, there's Legacy Fighting, there's the Professional Fighters League. You know, what was your experience with all of those organizations?
I loved it. I mean, UFC was definitely the most professional. The PFL, whenever I ended up there, they were starting to get big, and they were I mean, they just basically hired a bunch of former UFC employees and brought them over. So they did everything as close to the UFC as they could. You know, I fought for Bellator in Sioux Falls on one of those cards, and that was a good time too. They were a good show. But I mean, I just, like I said, I just enjoyed the fight. I just enjoyed getting in there and getting after it. And then when I was in UFC and PFL, it was obviously nice to be making some good money and getting some more exposure for doing, you know, what I really wanted to be doing.
July of 19, it's your PFL debut, and the bout didn't last long because of a liver kick. Did that catch you off guard, the liver kick?
Well, we had known that he was a kickboxer, and he was tall. You know, he's big, big, long, like 6'3", one of those guys who was super rangy. And so then in this fight, it was like, okay, we're going to have to take this guy down because he's so tall, so long. And he was... you know, a really high level kickboxer. He had fought in some pretty good kickboxing promotions. So, you know, came out, tried to close the distance, threw a right hand, and he just leaned back, threw that left leg up, was able to smack me right in the liver.
Oh, well, then April of 21, you're scheduled for a bout, but you have to pull out due to a congenital heart condition. Tell me about this condition.
Yeah, it's called, bicuspid aortic valve. So apparently your aorta is supposed to have three valves on it, and mine has two. So when they, well, actually, I guess, I mean, even kind of before that, I had got COVID during my training camp, or before my training camp, really. And so doing my physical, you always got to get an EKG for your physicals. And on my EKG was really bad. They wouldn't pass me because of my EKG. So I had to get a bunch of other tests because of the COVID. And then I had never had my heart imaged. So they wanted me to get a echo, a stress test, a Holter monitor, and possibly even a cardiac MRI. So the COVID had made my heart, apparently. My cousin's a cardiologist. She saw my EKG. She said, if someone has an EKG like this, you're worried about them having a heart attack like the next day. And my heart rate was super high when I was going through COVID. It was up over, I mean, my resting heart rate was like 130. And after I had already been through it and had been, you know, training for a bit, my resting heart rate was still, this was months after. So I needed to get my heart imaged and then got the echo, and that's where they found it, on the echo. And with the only two valves, apparently it will stay open, and that stops the blood from leaving your heart. So the blood will just pool in your heart and expand whenever you get your heart rate up high.
Kind of surprised that it wasn't found earlier.
Yeah, but like I said, I had never had my heart imaged. There had been times where, like, my heart rate when I was younger and just, I mean, throughout life, sometimes I could just be sitting there not doing nothing, just hanging out, and then my heart rate will just take off like a hummingbird. And I mean, I don't know, I guess I never thought anything of it. It's just like, oh, well, you know, I'm a healthy guy. I've done a lot of things. Yeah. I'm in pretty good shape. So never thought anything of it, but it'll start beating really fast. And, you know, I'm getting like even lightheaded. But again, it was like, oh, well, it is what it is. I'm sure it's nothing. And they said that was one of the symptoms of it. When they were checking my heart, they said that I had 45 to 55% backwash, which means that's the blood that's not getting pushed out of my heart. So I'm like, man, so I'm really only getting like half the blood going through my body. Cause they were asking about, you get tired. And I'm like, yeah, but I'm getting older. You know, I just thought I was getting older. Do you get tingly fingers and toes? And I said, yeah. And that was a bad thing that I did get. Whenever I would do hard cardio or like train really hard, my feet would turn just almost like bone white and they would be cold. And they said, because your circulation's so bad, you're not getting the blood going through your body. I'm like, man, well, I'm still doing it though, you know. To me, I was like, well, that's all right. Well, I'm still going. I'm still feeling good. But after that, with the, it enlarges your aorta also, and that puts you at risk of an aortic rupture. And apparently your aorta is pretty important. So yes, they say, you know, they're trying not to have it blow up on you. And I'm like, oh, well, I've been fighting. I could still do it. And then the doctor said no. ESPN said no. PFL said no. So I was like, well, that sucks.
That was the end of your MMA career.
Yeah. I mean, really, like, that was the end of working out hard for me, you know, doing any, like, hard, strenuous stuff.
Even today.
Even, yeah, I'm not supposed to do any, well, I'm not supposed to get my heart rate over 120, which, you know, really isn't that much. And I'm not supposed to do any contact sports or anything.
When did you start thinking about coaching?
Well, I started coaching with the team that I was with down in Phoenix after I was done. You know, a lot of the guys, I had coached a little bit, but not too much because I was still in my own career, you know, I had helped the guys out. And so once I got done with that, then I started coaching them. I didn't do any jiu-jitsu with them, but I would hold mitts. And I was still in, because I was in the middle of a fight camp. I was a couple weeks away from fighting. So I was in good shape. But still, my heart, my resting heart rate was still like over 120. But I was still in good shape. So I just started, jumped right into coaching. And, you know, like a boxing trainer holds mitts. I was doing that for quite a handful of the guys on the team. And so, I mean, that was the start of my MMA coaching. And
that switches to high school, because Lakota Tech High School opened up in the fall of 2020. Athletics got going in 2021. The boys wrestling coaching job is available. And apparently that intrigued you.
I had wanted to come home. You know, I was in Phoenix coaching, and I didn't love coaching. Like, I was just in Phoenix to fight. So I was down there for a bit coaching, but me and my wife had planned on coming back. So once I came back, anytime I'd come back, I'd always help my dad coach. You know, there's a lot of stuff that I could physically do that he couldn't, you know, and he's a little older. So I'd always go in and help him out even before I was done and I started coaching. So what was it, 22, probably that first year when I was back, I was just a volunteer. I went out, I'd help him about 3 days a week. I wasn't doing, you know, every single day. I wasn't going to every single tournament, and the kids liked it and the administration liked it. So nice. I think probably, maybe it was even 23. I don't know. Cause I didn't start the first year. He went out there the first year at Christmas and started the team. And then that next year, maybe it was 22. I don't know. Time is a construct, you know. But yeah, the first year I just helped out a little bit. And then the next year, I think I took the assistant job and he was just the head coach. So I was there every day. And then I think it was just last year, the first year that I was the official boys coach. Sure. They wanted, maybe it was 2 years ago. I don't know. But they wanted a separate, because girls and boys tournaments started getting separated too.
Yep.
You know, now this year, a lot of the times they don't have boys and girls together. So the admin and the school board wanted an official boys coach and official girls coach, just to make sure that they knew like who's going with who each single time.
And you're the boys coach and your dad is the girls coach at Lakota Tech. By the way, Pine Ridge again and Lakota Tech, they're only 7 miles apart. You wrestled and won a title at Pine Ridge. How strange was it taking the wrestling job at Lakota Tech?
Well, I don't think it was strange at all. Once my dad went out to Lakota Tech, I mean, I didn't want to, coaching's hard, you know, like there's a lot of behind the scenes and everything. So we have a good little arrangement, you know, and he works at the school. I don't work at the school, so he does the recruiting and he handles with the admin and he's making sure everything's set. Well, I, for the most part, you know, in, not saying I'm the only one, but, you know, I'm making sure I'm, if there's something that needs to be done during practice, he goes and does it, and I'm staying at the wrestling, and I just get to focus on the wrestling. I'm what basically every coach really wants when they go into coaching, you know, just to do, for the most part, just doing the sport, not dealing with this and that and the next thing on the outside, just getting in and being able to coach your sport, what you want to learn, what you want to teach your kids.
How would you describe the way you wrestled in high school?
Go big or go home. Like, I was always going for the pin. I was always going for throws, trying to put people on their back. You know, I bet I had an over 85 to 90% pin percentage. Like, I don't think I had a lot of matches go the full 6 minutes because, I don't know, I don't want to get tired. People don't want to sit there and watch you that long. You know, I get out there, I could toss someone, get their feet over their head, and that's what the fans want.
How would you describe the way you coach?
I try to make sure the kids know, like, there's no pressure. You know, it is just a sport. And for the most part, most of our kids didn't start until high school. So we're already kind of at a disadvantage there. And it's like, guys, you know, we're gonna take some losses, but we're just gonna keep trying, keep having fun. I always tell them, all that I care about is effort. I do not care a single lick if you go out there and lose. But if you go out there and you don't try, that's all that I care about. We need you to just get out there. And there's going to be plenty of times in life where things ain't going your way, but you just got to keep going. You know, I don't care if you're losing by 14 points. They need one more point for a tech ball. You are not going to lay on your back and just give up. We do not give up.
David, I got a couple more for you. In the off season, when you're not involved with off-season training or with wrestling, what do you enjoy doing? What kind of hobbies do you have?
Well, I'm always in the gym. I can't lift hard, but, you know, I try to still stay – well, I mean, I have to stay fit, or, like, I'm not supposed to get too unhealthy. So I have to stay fit. So I'm always trying to get a little bit of a workout in. I work with the kids in the gym that want to lift. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I have my food truck, and I'm always working. Yeah, I have a food truck. It's called Tatanka Wings. I do hot wings, boneless wings,
nice.
Loaded fries, loaded tots, regular fries, regular tots.
Oh, man. That keeps you busy
I don't work
in the summer.
School.
Yes, correct. Wow, I like that. I gotta run into the food truck. Sounds pretty good.
You're going to have to come a long way, so.
I'm
yeah,
willing.
When I was in Phoenix, I was sponsored by a hot wing place, and I loved them. And so whenever I was done, I told them, you know, I'd like to open up my own spot. And they said, it was a couple brothers, and I'm like, and I said, hey, bro, come in. We'll teach you. We'll show you what's up. So I went in, and, you know, I worked for them for like 9 months, and that was my plan whenever I came back. I had that planned out, getting a food truck and, you know, starting up my own hot wing truck.
Last one for you, David. What gives you the most satisfaction working with the kids at Lakota Tech, the kids out there at Pine Ridge? What gives you the satisfaction working with those?
Seeing them get some confidence, you know, like we get a lot of reserved kids who never really did sports before, who don't have any confidence about themselves physically, and then once, you know, they start working hard, they start feeling a little stronger, they start seeing themselves get a few wins, seeing how that physical confidence changes into like mental and emotional confidence too. You know, once you start feeling good about yourself in one aspect of life, you're going to feel good about yourself in others. It all kind of works together. Everything's connected. So seeing them, like I said, just start to get confident in themselves and start to carry themselves differently, start to be more outgoing, start to feel like they're worth it.
In Play with Craig Maddock is made possible by Horton in Britain, where smiling at work happens all the time. Apply now at HortonWW.com. If you like what you're hearing, please give us a 5-star review wherever you get your podcast. It helps us gain new listeners. This has been In Play with me, Craig Matic. This is a production of South Dakota Public Broadcasting.